It is good to be with you this morning. Sang three of my most favorite songs this morning. Awesome. Whenever I worship with you, you know what I sense? God is here and he blesses my heart. It's always a joy to be here with you. Our scripture today, our gospel scripture, comes from Matthew 6. It's printed there in your bulletin. This is from Sermon on the Mount. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'm Bill David, and I approve this message. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. One lovely autumn morning, a 29-year-old woman went into the Pack and Save there in Sonora, where I shop every week, and she picked up a few groceries and on a whim bought a Super Lotto ticket. That night, she found out that that little whim ticket was worth $22.5 million. The question that everyone was asking Cindy Herrero was, what are you going to spend it on? What are you going to spend it on? Cindy did not plan to move out of her mobile there on the family property in Chinese Camp. She did not plan initially to, wasn't thinking about building a new home. She wasn't given to flights of fancy about high-end cars, fashion, exotic vacations, or luxurious homes. I sensed that the media was disappointed because Cindy came off as a person who was content. Me, super spiritual guy that I am, I walk around with this million-dollar list in my head that begins, if I had the money, I'd Anybody else have that list in their head? I mean, mine has great things on it, like pave my driveway, you know, really exciting stuff. All Cindy Herreros did say was that her family was going to have an extraordinary Christmas. A contented person, her focus was on what she was now empowered to do for those she loved. What are you going to spend it on? That's one of the big questions of Christian stewardship, isn't it? Or better yet, what are you going to invest in? Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The concept of Christian stewardship boils down to this. To be a steward is to live out the belief that God is the one to whom all of life belongs. Not just our money and possessions, but our minds, our bodies, our time, our skills and talents, our very lives. As stewards, we are managers of resources for the kingdom of God. One Sunday, after preaching on this topic, a pastor was invited to lunch at the ranch of one of his parishioners, a very wealthy rancher. Following the sumptuous 7-course meal prepared by the rancher's personal chef, they took a walk. They strolled through a beautiful garden, by the swimming pool and tennis courts, through some orchards, to the huge barns and wonderfully kept stables where they mounted a couple of his just beautiful horses, and took a ride to the top of a hill that overlooked the entire area. And there, the rancher turned and said, "Pastor, do you mean to tell me that none of this truly belongs to me?" The pastor paused. And then he said, "Ask me that question again in 100 years. And I think you'll know the answer." Psalm 24 opens declaring, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It's easy for us to acknowledge that the laborer is worthy of their hire, that an investor is allowed a fair return on her investment. So if God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, isn't the Lord the primary owner, laborer, inventor, and investor? And shouldn't he get a fair return? To say less is to ignore one of the basic principles of life. Is it unreasonable to allow God the same rights as those that we take for granted for ourselves? The concept of Christian stewardship basically boils down to this. To be a steward is to live out the belief that all of life belongs to God. Stewards seek not to please just themselves, but primarily their master. As Christians, you could say that we are involved in the management of resources for the kingdom of God. So if people ask you what you do for a living, this is what you can tell them. You can say, "Oh, I'm a manager for Kingdom Enterprises, the largest corporation in the universe. And the CEO is a personal friend of mine. The fringe benefits are great. The retirement plan, literally heaven. And if you'd like to join up, I can tell you how." In Deuteronomy 26, we read about the offering from the first fruits from the harvest to the Lord. It was not the gleanings of what was left over that they gave, but from the first fruits. Honoring God out of God's provision was a top priority, not an afterthought. As this offering is made, the The worshipers remember the mighty acts of God, who had compassion upon them and gave them deliverance, a land in which to dwell, in which he prospered their crops. Rejoicing, they declare, "You, Lord, brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now we bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given us." God had provided the freedom, the land, and the crop. The vast majority of Americans aren't connected anymore to the land as earlier generations were. And maybe this agricultural reference is not very powerful for them. But here in the Central Valley where you live, in one of the greatest agricultural centers in the entire world, even if you aren't personally involved in farming, you're surrounded and you observe the rhythms of planting and pruning and harvest. My mother grew up on a farm in central Kansas. My dad was born in a field. Okay, it was an oil field in Texas. I have a small orchard of 60 fruit and nut trees on my acreage there in Columbia that every year I prune and water and harvest from. Growing up, I'd spent time on the farm that was homesteaded by my great-great-grandparents there in Kansas. Some years the harvest was abundant. Other years it was less so. During the Dust Bowl years, sometimes there was no harvest. But nonetheless, farmers recognize that not everything is under their control. Most of the farmers that I have known have a belief in God, a belief in God's goodness and God's provision. You know, farming can be a risky business. These days, it seems just about any business is risky, really. The economy dominates the agenda of our presidential election. So many folks have been hard hit, and so many other nations are worse off than we are. Unemployment is around 25% in Spain. Three times what it is in our country. Some Spaniards are signing up for time banks, where individuals perform services based on their skills and they receive another service in return. No money changes hands. After saving money for years, Lola Sanchez finally was able to afford a car that was equipped with a ramp and space for the wheelchair of her teenage son, who has cerebral palsy. A nurse used to come every day and help her care for him, but that service was cut amid government austerity measures. Sanchez says, "What I need is physical help more than financial assistance," because she could not physically lift her son. So Sanchez joined a time bank that sends members to help with her son's care every day. She doesn't pay them. Instead, she reciprocates by using her handicap-friendly vehicle to transport other people in the community who are disabled and need help getting around. Many people have more time than money. So in the past 2 years, time banks in Spain have doubled. They stress equality, Sanchez says. "For me, it is good to know that my time has the same value as anyone else's. There's no difference between 1 hour of work for a computer specialist or for a cleaning woman." Time banks are especially useful in Spain, where traditionally close family ties have been fractured by urbanization in the last generation, and also by unemployment. It's restructuring the sense of community that used to exist in Spanish villages. It helps the unemployed to be and to feel truly productive. It also gives them a greater sense of community. To be a steward is to live out the belief that all of life belongs to God. The good times and the rough times. In differing ways, both evidence God's blessing. Both provide opportunities to give. And isn't it in the rough times that we allow God to have deeper access to our soul to do a lasting work that will be a blessing for others? Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Sometimes in church we confuse stewardship with fundraising. We try to come up with some new gimmick to entice generosity and promote good feeling. But stewardship is not another program for the church. It's not about fundraising. Stewardship is a faith issue. It's at the heart of what it means to be Christ's people. It's at the heart of what it means to call Jesus Lord. For in essence, when we call Jesus Lord, we are saying, not mine, but yours. It's all yours, Lord. My mind, my body, my time, my treasure, all yours to use according to your will. I believe that the truest liberty and deepest contentment come with that declaration, Jesus is Lord. The recognition of God's ownership of everything was exemplified in the early church. Luke tells us in Acts 4:32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had with those who were in need. They lived out the belief that everything they had really belonged to the Lord. And since they shared with those that were in need, you know that there were some who were unable to share material blessing. There were those who needed to receive. And I'm sure that that might have been humbling for them. But that was the situation. God gave plenty to some that they might share with others who did not receive as much. All of life belongs to God. And if everything belongs to God, that means ultimately that nothing truly belongs to us. As that pastor tried to get across to that rancher who had great wealth. This obviously runs contrary to our consumer-based materialistic culture. We are inundated daily with a deluge of commercials that encourage the pride of ownership, the sense that we deserve this toy or that luxury, or we need the security afforded by some product. But it's a lie that much contentment and real security is afforded by the deodorant that we use, the car that we drive, or how shiny our hair might be. Jesus said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions." If you want true contentment, true security, the truth is it's found in only one place, in only one person, in God. Times and circumstances are in constant flux, but our God never changes. God's goodness, our Lord's grace, and his love? God's faithfulness remain the same forever. We sang that earlier. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Someone has said, you cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead by investing in the things of God. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You cannot serve both God and money. Even in ancient times, money gave God a lot of competition for the number one spot. Some have alleged that so long as the economy is going well and we can buy what we want, Americans could care less about integrity, honor, and morality. Christians have a great opportunity to send a different message. It's where our heart is that is the key, where our values lie, who our ultimate devotion is to. It's our underlying conviction and attitude above all that is key to our experiencing the liberty that Christ invites us to. Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to describe some of the freedom that is ours when we hold this foundational principle that God is the owner of all things, that he's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Recognition of God's ownership of all things, of all of life, frees us from worry. It redirects our values, and it helps us use God's property for God's kingdom and glory. When King David gathered in an abundant offering as they were preparing to build that first temple, David praises God, saying, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth are yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. All of life belongs to God. Our bodies, our minds, our time, our talents, our treasure. May we honor the Lord with all that we've got. Pray with me.